Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Another blessful Monday morning, and you are live with the Bread Man one time for your mind. Wow, wow, wow. Well, hopefully all of y'all had a great weekend. I know I did. Even though I didn't go to any tracks, I still had a great weekend because I am here speaking with you. Y'all know how the Bread Man do it. I'm going to come in and give and start the show out with vitamin of this week and also a small prayer. I do want to let you know that the show today will be short, and we are going to try to address all things in which to let us know what's going on in the upcoming week, and also if there is any of us out there that have other issues and would like the Bread Man to pray about them in the prayer, let me know. You can text me or just hit the one button before we start the prayer and I can get you in. There may be someone who needs prayer this morning, someone, loved ones we can pray about, and with all like minds, it's something I'm going to start doing. You know, to just try to cover the whole grudge community. With that being said, let's get started. We're going to read this morning about business integrity. The Lord detests men of preserved heart, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. We can go to Proverbs 11 and 20 and read entail about what we're about to discuss. Let us go into the reading. Again, let us ask, are our leading laymen examples of holiness? Does business integrity and honesty run parallel with religious activity and Christian obedience to make men and women holy? And he has made ample provisions in the law of doing this very thing. Why should it be thought impertinent and useless to express such personal and pointed questions such as these? I deal directly with the work of God and with its progress and its perfection. These questions go to the very center of the disease. Dear God, you chose me to be holy and blameless in your sight, even before creation. Please help me, Lord, to live a life pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bless the Grudge Nation, Grudge Inc., and those that are just out, just enjoying what activity they can see, O Heavenly Father, when it pertains to race. We ask that you continue to inspire us, keep us disciplined, O Heavenly Father, to want to achieve the goals in which we set for ourselves. We ask right now, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless and touch the sick and shed in. We ask that you continue to motivate us as we go into this week. All these blessings and more, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Y'all know that the bread men also have to give a special health tip out. And the health tip has nothing to do with a car. It has something to do with our body. Listen. We're at these tracks at over 90-degree weather. Y'all put the brews down. If it's 12 o'clock, if the sun ain't go down, leave them brews alone. Get y'all some water. It's cheaper. Put water in your body so that we can focus on the racing and don't have the ambulance stop the race to go come into the pits because we have overheated. So, with that being said, the upcoming races that we have in this heat, July, August, I'm not talking about nobody in particular, nobody tracks, but I am saying we are visiting a numerous track and, you know, try to get you some little cloth that you can stick in your cooler and, you know, put it on the back of your neck. Try to keep your body temperature at a minimum. Don't try to get it too hot. Let it stay cool. Let's focus on ourselves. With that being said, let's move on to the next phase in our show. Well, I'm going to try to get in here. Today, our question and our show was going to be about, is it better to dyno? We're talking about an engine dyno, not a chassis dyno. Engine dyno. Is it better to dyno tune your engine from a dyno, or is it better to put it in your chassis and tune it at the track? That is our bread man topic of today. Is it better to tune your engine on an engine dyno, put it in your car, take it to the track? Or is it better to put it in the car and tune it in the car? Well, I'm not sure. I tried to look back on Ernie, Tech Talk with Ernie. I'm not sure if we had this discussion with Ernie, if he told us this particular answer. But what do y'all think? And I think I see the Godfather here somewhere. I'm going to get him in on this because I think that he has a lot of knowledge on this right here. And we're going to get this thing kicked off. Godfather, where you at? Throw your hand up for me. I'm looking for him. Oh, where he at? Yeah. Hold on a minute, y'all. Get him in on this right here. There he is. Good morning. Good morning. God, Father. Y'all hear me out there? Can y'all hear me out there? Hold on 1 minute here. Hold 1 minute. I got some hands up here. 910-5440. I apologize. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad, man. I was just calling in to let you know we hear you.
Oh, okay, man. Thank you. I didn't know if y'all heard me out there or not. I was making sure of the system because it was acting up earlier, but I appreciate it. What's your kick on? Should we Dino or Chassis? Which one you think?
I ain't in the fundamentals. I mean, for the wise, you know what I mean. Knowing the cars
just,
like
it's
that,
just
so I can't really say.
It's just a question. Yes or no? Would you prefer Dino or in the chassis? It's just a question. Nothing difficult.
Okay, Dino, you saying tuning your car at the track?
Yes. No, Dino, I'm saying Dino is tuning it in the shop. Putting it in the car, we're tuning the engine at the track.
Well, I think that can pretty much go kind of both ways in a sense because, I mean, if you're tuning at the shop, right, and you pretty much think you got everything shot, so then when you get there to the track, if you have to make a pass, you know, and then you can pretty much go back and readjust everything.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it's kind of like a 50-50 for me.
But that's all we're asking. Thank you so much for your definitely your opinion on it. And I'm going to gear out the next caller here and see what they think. So just
all
sit
right,
back
man,
and relax. Yes, sir. Thank you kindly.
All right.
There we have it, folks. 813-0041. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing today, Brett?
Just fine. For those of you who do not know who this is the one and only Mr. Tip with Thursday Night Thunder.
Thank you. Hey, answer your question there, Brett. If I'm building a brand new one out of the box, all new parts, motor, I probably want to put it up on an engine dyno and dyno it, tune it up there, make sure I have nothing that's overheating, good oil pressure, check my torque, check my horsepower and stuff to see where it's at, you know, before I put it in the car, then have to do all that work twice. And then after that, I would put it in the car and then, you know, go from there.
So you're saying that you would prefer to just do both of them as well?
Yeah, I would prefer to do both as well because, you know, you take it from the machine shop and put it in the car and, you know, you could have some issues with the motor and not know it, you know, like, you know, a parts that's failing or not right oil pressure or something overheating, one something overheating and stuff like that. You know, you could find all these things out before you take and put it in the car. It would save yourself from work some time.
There we have it. Me personally, I'm going to wait till the end of the segment. I am going to get Mr. Nelson on here, and we also going to have probably a couple other chassis shops that are going to tune in here shortly and get their take on what is best for us. Well, Brent, man, why did you come up with this particular segment? I thought that in the process of us building more horsepower, me personally, we as consumers want the most bang for our buck. And you know, it's been in the air. Is it better to dyno? Is it a waste of time? You know what I'm saying? To waste your money on it. And I just wanted to see what the public thought. And that's what made me say, hey, you know what I mean? As I did my homework, I looked back, and I don't recall hearing a show on what was better, dynoing or at the track, because when I done my investigation last week, I realized that there are some things at the track that are that we could be overlooking that is better for an engine. And when we, Mr. Nelson on here, we would definitely find out what that might be. So, yes, sir.
Man,
hello.
How you hold my mic up? I've been pushing the one button, and you already got my mic on, man.
I don't know. There you go. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I was calling for you earlier, and I didn't know if you you were on. So
I was on there, but I was on the doggone phone trying to get that big announcement going on. I didn't want to put it out on Red Man Show. I wanted to put it out when I get some more particulars, but it's about one of your main men, Cold Killer, but I didn't mean to say that. Damn, I slipped. I ain't know my mic was open. But now, Brad, man, I wanna say something about that Dino in about putting it in the car first. And can I say something about that?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna be honest with you, and I'm talking from a layman's point of view, cause I heard everybody's view out there. The average guy, I'm talking about the average everyday miller, the guy does not have the money to get his doggone motor dyno. Now I know you probably saying, just like Mr. Tip just said earlier, well, why spend that? Why go to the trouble of putting it in the car and all that? Well, to be honest with you, 95% of us, that's exactly what we do, because we don't have the money to dyno a doggone engine. So we gonna put it in the car, and we just hope everything work out right. But the same difference, I got it's a two-edged sword to me. You can dyno the hell out of it, and everything will be perfect, and you can put it in the damn car and still have a damn problem. So if you ask me, I think the layman or the joker that's in the same category that I am, we're not going to pay no money to get it dynoed unless you with a machine shop, machine guy that's putting your motor together that has a dyno, that he might just do that to make sure that he put it together right, though. So I'm going to say, if you ask me, Bread Man, I'm going to put mine in the car first. I ain't going to go on no dyno machine to dyno nothing because I ain't got no money to get it dynoed. I'm on mute.
Well, before you leave, Godfather, I want to ask you this right here now. What do you think some of the pros and cons to just throwing it in the car versus what type of information we can get from the dyno? That's what we're
doing. Good question, Brad Man. Damn good question. I wish Mr. Nelson was on here because I like him and I like the way he answers questions. But it's pros and cons is like him. A dyno, normally, if you're doing a dyno, everything is just right. You're in the optimum, what you call them. So the dyno is going to tell you whether or not, you know, everything's percolating pretty good. But as we know, if man made it, it will fail. So you can, I'm going to say it like I said, if you get you a reliable machine shop and a reliable engine builder, 95% of the times you're going to be okay, Brad Man, by just getting it and putting it in the car. Because if he take his time and he's sincere about his work and don't want his name to be trashed because he's putting together junk, he going to have your stuff pretty well close to being right. And dyno is just going to show you a little bit more if you can afford the dyno. But like at the same token, as soon as you take it off that dyno machine and put it in your car, you're not going to have the same conditions. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's going to be up to the individual to determine on whether he want to do it or not. Because even if you dyno it, Brad Man, and you take it off the dyno and put it in your car, it's still going to be the same thing. You don't have the same conditions in your car that you was on the dyno.
That sums up a lot of it right there. And, you know, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and call and get Mr. Nelson in here. Y'all would just hold 1 second and I get him on here. Let me go to a quick commercial break here and let me get Mr. Nelson in here.
It ain't hard to tell how you sell.
on the bread, man. You could have went to the private room, and I could have ran the show for you while you was in the private room.
You have reached Chris Nelson with Nelson Competition. Sorry I cannot answer the phone, but if you would, leave a message at the sound of the tone. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm back. Somebody with background noise. Mr. Tip, you getting out your truck. But we're back. Obviously, I couldn't grab them, but I do have a backup in line. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and grab him. Where you at, dog? Go ahead. Let me get this other guy on here. Another machine.
Yeah, dog. I was sitting to tell you, Brad, man, we heard you, and we heard you got Chris. Like I said, we could have stayed on the show and been talking, and you could have went to the down-gone private room and got him and everything. But it's all good. If you need me, I'm here to help you out if I can.
Well, go ahead. Let me grab this other one because he didn't answer. But I got a backup here.
Okay, well, you got anybody I can talk to? Who out there? Who Michael?
Actually, nobody.
Give me somebody, Mike. I don't want to talk to myself, Brad, man. Good grief.
Ain't nobody. They all on here, but they sitting back waiting on the show to get situated. You know how they do. You know, anybody got any other questions about what we talking about, go ahead and hit one. Here we go. We got you, somebody. Hold on a minute.
I'm glad somebody, you know, Red Man, you know.
6386, 22386, how you doing?
I'm good, brothers, I'm good. Hey, I just got on the show late. I caught the tail end of y'all trying to find out whether, I guess y'all trying to say, whether it's good to have the motor on the dyno first, or a chassis dyno, or just put it in the car and do your thing, right? That's what we're
right, at. That's it. Bread Man, go ahead on now. Me and this man here can talk. Bread Man, go on to the private room. We can talk. Yeah, that's what we was trying to do. Go ahead, brother. What you think?
Well, I think we just put it in the car because just like you said, dog, you know what? You put it on the dyno, that's the perfect conditions on that. You know what I'm saying? And really on the dyno, you spending a lot of money because, what, the first $400 to $500, you're only getting two pulls out of it. Right, take it to the track. You can run as much as you want. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
so I just say put it in the car.
That sounds good to me. Now, also, let me ask you another question now. Now, if you put a doggone motor on the dyno, and we know on the dyno it'd be putting the wood to that damn motor on the dyno, if a joker blow your motor up on the dyno, do you have to pay for it or do the damn company that's doing it pay for it? Who pay for it?
Man, they ain't gonna look at you like you gonna pay for it. I ain't never seen no machine shop say they ain't gonna do that. Now a good engine builder, you know what I'm saying, if he know you put some good money into it, you and you're a regular customer, he gonna look out for you. Maybe.
I'm glad you're on the phone because evidently you like me. Not that I asked for you to be like me. I'm just being for real because that's what I do. Now I'm finna show you another one. I'm finna show you another thing now. Now we know on a dyno gets the max out of what your car gonna do, and they show you. Is that right?
That's right.
Now
that's
you
right.
Gotta know if you put your motor in your car and go out down that track, ain't no car, none of them out there running at 100% efficiency and nowhere close. So that means you're putting less stress in your car when you go out there and test it on the track than you do on a dyno. So why in the hell would I bust my damn motor on a dyno? And if I'm going to bust it, I'd rather bust it on somebody behind that on the track and in my car and sit on that damn dyno. Now, I'm sorry to say this, and I might be talking against folks that's got dyno, but I'm just telling you the way I feel. How you think about that, caller?
I kind of feel the same way, B, on the real, because guess what? They don't even have a converter on the damn dyno in the first place, and you're guessing on the converter. You know what I'm saying? So when it's all said and done, you know, it's a whole different story. I mean, you got this the LS1 motors and all that stuff there. You can put that on the computer and find all that out. But the old school motors and stuff, you know, you got to buy other things to get that to where it is. So if you don't have those things, then you just guessing all the way like they guessing.
You got a point there. Did Bread Man get back yet? Bread Man, you get back yet? Because we going to bust your damn show wide open. Bread Man. Red Man ain't get back yet. Now you right now. We ain't trying to mess nobody up though. But I'm trying to say though, I hate to say it though. When you put that thing on the dyno, like I said, you got optimal conditions and everything. And we don't run on the optimal conditions. And it costs us money to put them on the dynos. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with dynos now if you can afford the dyno. There's nothing wrong with dyno if you can afford it. But the average joke out there cannot afford the dyno.
That, you're exactly right. And a lot of these dynos, too, they already know how to mess with the numbers, man. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to get somebody that you can trust, you know what I'm saying, that they ain't going to jack you up. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. It's just that simple. If they know you don't know that much about that motor, man, they're going to show you the number that you want.
Oh,
to
man. Now, you don't know of a whole nother dough that only somebody like me though. Now, you telling the damn truth. You just telling the truth, and can't nobody, it's no defense against the doggone truth. And you just told the truth, because on that dyno, to be honest with you, they can manipulate that dyno, manipulate them numbers any kind of way they want them to make them look good for themselves.
Any kind of way, brother, any kind of way. You better know what you're talking about when you go in there, especially when you talk, well, I want to get this top, this block here. You know, most guys, you and I know that, okay, you got a nice block, or where your power coming from? Coming from your head. You know what I'm saying? You go in there and like, know what you want and see what happened to you. I'm going on mute.
Yeah. Hey, keep somebody trying to call me. I can't get the phone because I'm on. Brad, man, you back?
Go ahead. I'm back.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Brad, man. Go ahead. I got to go to the next line for a minute.
Thank you. All righty. Thank you. Next caller, 404-1304. Good morning. Welcome
morning.
To the Bread Man One Time Show.
Morning, brothers. How y'all doing?
Just
good,
fine.
Good.
Yourself?
Yeah. You said what I was just getting to say. A lot of them guys on the dyno can call it. It's called corrected air. Perfect condition. They can make dynos show the number they want to show. But from what I understand, a lot of your top engine builders really just use the dyno to crank a motor, go back through the valves and stuff like that there. And, you know, like you just said, though, the dyno can really make a man see something that he want to see, but it ain't there.
Exactly. And you think about this. You got to pay for the oil. You got to pay for the gas. That dyno machine that he's running on the reel, that dyno machine been paid for 2, 3, 4, 5 times over. Okay? Really, it takes $500 a dyno motor, $600 a dyno motor? Really? Come on, man. They're only going to give you 2 pulls on that motor, too. So you ain't even, still got to take the motor and you got to dial it in. That 2 pulls ain't dialing that motor in.
Right. Hey, Bread Man.
Yes, sir.
I want to say one thing, man. Excellent topic, man. And you talking about a short show. If we really get into the brass and nuts of this thing, it ain't going to be no short show. Because whoever you just got on there that was talking to me, we're going to bust a whole lot of jokers out because he don't mind telling the truth like me. I think now that'll lead into another question, Bread Man. You got to be able to trust your damn engine billing, man. That's the main thing. Instead of a damn dyno, the hell with a dyno, you better be able to trust your engine billing, man. I'm on mute.
Look here now. Hey, dog, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know you've been racing a long time, and I have too. This shorty.
Okay,
why is it the guys today, the numbers that a lot of these guys today in the engine sizes, hell, we did that with a lot less motor and a lot less technology. You know, like you got some guys out there with some 632s or some 555 that, shit, let the truth be told, them probably won't get out their own way. And, you know, hell, I seen motors, you know, 498s, 502, whatever, and can run the same number. I get the question I'm asking you, from back in the days to now, if your motor made 1,000 horsepower, when it make 1,000 horsepower today, why is it so difficult for the new guys and the new end builders to get the concept?
Well, see, now, back in the day, now, like I said, with technology, everything changes. So back in the day, like I said, you could build a motor back in the day, and you might have run that damn motor 5 years and didn't have to do nothing to it. You might have but change the damn oil in the plugs. Nowadays, stuff's so finicky, and everybody's on the edge of everything. I mean, you go out there and run them one time, and you might have to rebuild them because the technology going. And like I said, they done speed it up from what we was going at, but, you know, everything is so finicky now, so it's a whole different world now. I'm going to put it that way.
Yeah, but it's just some of the end inside these guys tell me they got in. I ain't talking about the Pro Mod cars and stuff like that. You know, your G-Bodies and stuff like that, you know, be at your local track. And I'm like, man, that's all y'all can run with them numbers. Hell, dog, back in the day, hell, how fast you ran with your the green car, the blue car? Hell, that car, that was fast, you know, back in the day. But, I mean, it's just some of the end inside these guys tell me, I'm like, man, y'all in y'all own damn way. And I think a lot of guys think when they want to go faster is to add more nitrous. And a lot of guys don't know, you know, you got to get the full potential out of the car, converter, transmission. It's just a lot more than going bad than just add nitrous.
Hey, yeah, you're right about that. A lot of people don't really. A lot of people got. See, that's what I'm trying to. I said it on another show. A lot of people got 800, 900 cubic inch motors. Okay, if you got all that motor, but you ain't using but 50% of it, why you can just get you a little old 632 or 615 or something and do the same thing with it? But that's way. That's the way it's evolved. We got to evolve with the times. And right now, that's where the times are going. So I mean, we just gotta. Hey, some of us smart. Some of us got a lot of money. We get dumb. The more money you get, the dumber you get. That's what I say.
Hey, that's exactly right, dog. Hey, look, I was up at the MCA thing up there in Joliet this weekend, and they got a stock class. You got to have stock everything in there. They had a stock car, man, go 10, 15, stock. No nitrous, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just power. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't substitute nothing. So my man is right. You know, okay, we got these big numbers now. You know what I'm saying? But we can still run those same numbers. And they always say cubic inch, you can't beat that. Well, you know what? The fastest car don't always win either. So you might have that 632. I might have that 502. You know what I'm saying? I might be able to run that number down the track. You might not get down the track. So that day just be my day.
We don't want to get off this topic that Breadman had. Excellent topic. Let him get him. If anybody else got the one, hit the one button and say whether or not you want Dino and whether you not want Dino and why. Because it's a good damn topic. I want to hear some more views, my damn self.
Without a doubt.
Well, I want to give my view on everything because.
Oh, Breadman, not if you ain't got nobody hand raised. If somebody hand raised, Breadman, you said you're going to go last, Breadman.
I am. I know I did, but, I would be remiss if I didn't say.
Breadman, you can't wait to answer right, Breadman.
Hey, it's Tony Boss Bine. Carl, we talked this morning. And he said, call this shop right here. They would definitely have something to say. So when I called the shop, I talked to the man, the head man over the shop. He said,
you ain't
call
talking
me
about Lil Moe.
No. He said, call me. No, it's not. It's a machine shop. He said, call me back. My son would definitely get on. Well, when I called him back, his son said, no, I don't want nothing to do with them Blog Talk Radio shows. Because people get things misconstrued. So rather than me getting a tongue wrestling match with that individual, I told him I would call him back later and we can discuss, you know, different things about why, you know.
Hey, Brad, man, I'm going to say something because a lot of people, just like anything else, they put the word out and said Blog Talk Radio be messing them up and everything. That's a lie. Anytime you got anything, if you can discuss it and you discuss it in the right way and you're discussing it with truth and equality, ain't nothing wrong with a blog talk show. There's a lot of these blog talk shows, and there's a whole lot of jokers out there, and I'm on mute.
No, that's true. With that being said, we do have another hand up, 3604. What is your take on the topic? Good morning, by the way. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on? Nothing much. The topic this morning, sir, is it better to have your engine dynoed on an engine dyno or to put it in your car, and tune it that way? What is better, and what is your opinion? Go ahead, sir.
Me personally, I probably want to have it, you know, dynoed on an engine dyno just to see, you know, how much horsepower. Am I making that horsepower that my engine be able to say I'm making? So I probably would want to tune it that way. But even if you tune it that way, you still gonna have to tune it at the track because it ain't gonna be the same. Won't be the same. You can get a good bass tune up on the engine, I know, but at the track, you still gonna have to put some tune up. Some. It gonna have to be something different done at the track versus the engine, I know. That's my input.
Is that your
motor? That's June Bug Jones.
Okay, now I'm glad he said. Did y'all hear what he just said? He said some good stuff that y'all might have missed in the what you call him. He said he wanted to put it on the dyno just to see was the horsepower numbers right. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. To be honest with you, to me, and I'm sorry all you are dyno shops out there. I ain't against y'all, but I ain't finna spend no damn money to put my motor on no damn dyno just to see how much horsepower I've got, because normally you ain't gonna be making the horsepower no way. Plus, like the other caller of mine, I didn't get his name, the first caller that Breadman had me on there with, me and him gonna tear y'all butt up today. You can go in there and change the damn cam on the dyno and make it do what it want to do, and then pull the cam out there and put another in there, and you still don't know what the hell you got.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, dog. You're right. But also, dog, you can also try to see if that motor stay together now. You know, on that,
put it on
that
the dyno. Ain't gonna put it on the dyno would not tell you whether it's gonna stay together.
Oh, it depends on how fast they rev it up, dog. This is a smooth criminal, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Because you know some of them cats. You say, hey, how about this one? You take a motor that was built by somebody else, take it to somebody else's dyno. Well, you think they're gonna be soft on that motor? I'm on.
Well,
you're right.
Dyno, no testing at the track, no nowhere. Can't nobody in the world tell you whether or not they're gonna stay together, because you can get a brand new one. Now I know Ed Hoover. Ed Hoover's a pro mod racer. For all you older guys that know, Ed Hoover had a motor come from, and I'm just, this ain't nothing bad. This is a learning thing. Come from Gene Fulton, brand new. He pulled into the water box and spin his wheels over. You know how you bun in there just to spin your wheels over to put water on your tire, and the motor locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new, pro mod Ed Hoover. So you can't never tell when these damn motors gonna bust or when they're gonna let go. Nobody in the world can do that.
You're right.
Don't y'all think, like, you know, if it make it off the dyno, it should make it down the track, because I feel like the dyno harder on it than the damn track is, ain't it?
You're perfectly right. But what I'm trying to get through your head is the dyno, it can be perfect. It can be perfect on the dyno. You can put it in your car and turn it over and something go wrong or break. You never know what I'm trying to tell you. Nobody can. Why you think they don't guarantee no motors? You can't find nobody that'll guarantee a race motor. Nobody.
Yep, but like I believe, like, track have a different load on the motor than damn dyno.
It got less load on it. That don't mean it ain't gonna bust though. Smooth criminal, help me out, criminal.
But the dyno, like, you can show correct the air on the dyno. A dyno can make you. They can make you see what you want to see at the end of the day on the dyno. I don't see it done. I tell the guy, you know, you can change the sea level, you can change the correct air, you can change the temperature in the room. There's so many variables in that. If a man just gonna be honest and just pull it, you know, at this and that, but there's so many variables on a dyno versus being at the track. And from what I can understand, a lot of your top engine builders, only thing they use is dyno for it to crank the motor up, run through the valve, make sure ain't no leaks, and pull it back off and ship it to you and let you pick it up.
Now, I'm going to tell something else I'm going to bring up, and I'm going to be quiet. I just want to lay the platform for the discussion. Chubb came on here and said the exact thing 90% of the people do. He said he just wanted to put it on the dyno to see how many doggone horsepower he was making. And I'll be damned, that's about all you really can do on a damn dynamo is to see how many horsepower you're making. I'm on mute.
That's it. Especially
you got a nitrous motor. Hell, you ain't going to never run, you know, you ain't going to never run no horsepower anyway. Your converter and all that stuff ain't set up for it. And you got some fools out there that do spray nitrous on the dyno, and I heard that wasn't good on a motor or whatever, but, I mean, I guess it's for each his own. But.
Okay, Shorty, what about guys that get the engine built, and then they take them to the dyno, and then they blame it on the dude who dyno they engine? Well, he blow my motor. What about that? I mean, if he didn't build a motor.
That's what I just said. He gonna be hard on that motor. He didn't build the motor. He going to see what it got.
Right.
Guess what? If the motor breaks, then you got to fix that in shop, right? That's how it is, man. He just messed you up. He going to send you off to the dude that built your motor. Then you're going to be fighting with him.
Is this what I told you? That's why I like this discussion this morning. It's just like I told you. It comes down to you better be able to trust your doggone man that built your motor. That's what you better be able to trust. And you ain't got to worry about
a real engine builder, he probably use a dyno to play with the cam, see what it do with this, see what it do that. I mean, you got some good things you can do on a dyno, because I know a man had a motor built by a top engine builder. He wasn't able to go pick up the motor, and another guy went up there and bought the motor. But before the guy went up there, he said, "Man, let me change some stuff in the motor before you get here." Now, why the guy say that? Don't have a clue. But what we figured that, hell, he probably changed the cam, probably degree. You know, they changed some stuff for this other guy for what he doing. I mean, because at the end of the day, your engine builder can make or break you. I mean, it don't take nothing but change the cams, have a different direction, a couple degrees this way, a couple degrees that way, and you can be in left field the rest of your life.
I got to throw out one more thing, and then I'm going to go back on mute for y'all to discuss it. 80% of us, 80% of the engine builders, 80% don't have a dyno machine. So you better make sure you got a good, reliable guy that know that builds motors and pretty good at it. 80% of the engine builders does not have a dyno machine.
Well, let me say this right quick. Let me say this right quick. I'm going to go on mute. How about those, the ones that have engine dynos and got caught? You ever notice their car not messing up on the track? But your car will? Once you take that motor out? Come on, man. I'm on mute. I know better.
I got another thing, dog. Let a guy build your motor who don't build his own engine?
You got a point there now. I'm going on mute.
I got another question. How many engine builders have race cars?
Hold on, y'all. To dyno your engine and on the dyno, or is it better to put it in your car and tune it at the track? What do you feel is better, and what's your take on it?
Well, what we do is we try to run them all on the dyno, so obviously you can make sure it's got no leaks. You know, if there's anything you need to do to it, you could do it right there. On the dyno, there's a lot of things that the dyno will tell you, how efficient the engine is, you know, what the brake specific, how much fuel it's using. You know, when you're at the racetrack, you can't tell anything. You can't tell all those things, you know. So there's definitely a good asset, you know, to use the dyno. But at the
who
end of the day,
who is this, baby? Who is it? We need to know who it is.
This is Joe Irwin from Fast Forward Race Engines.
Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
Yes,
we just want to know who we're talking to.
But at the end of the day, it's how it runs on the racetrack. So, you know, like I said, the dyno will tell you a lot of things. It'll tell you if it's making good power, you know, it'll tell you where it's making power at, tell you how much fuel it's using to make the power it's using. You know, you could get your timing all figured out pretty close there. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still going to have to tune the thing at the racetrack to get it to go down the racetrack, obviously, and to get it to its maximum performance. You're going to have to do it on the racetrack.
Hey, Joey.
Yeah.
We love you, man, and we wasn't dogging nobody. But don't, and what you said is right from another perspective. But won't that grid box do the same thing?
Well, the grid box won't tell you what you're using for brake specific, how much fuel you're using. Obviously, you could put it on the dyno and you could, you know, put timing into it, make a pull, and within a minute you could see if you're going in the right direction or you're not. You know, instead of taking the car down the track, you know, and obviously you got the chance of hurting it, you know, if you got too much timing in it or whatnot, you know. So, also, by, you know, moving the timing, it'll move your torque curve, you know. So there's a lot of things that the dyno is very, very good for. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still going to have to tune the thing at the racetrack to get it to run what it needs to run.
Right, Joey, don't get us wrong now. We just worst-case scenario, and we throwing these questions at you just so you can answer them. Don't think we're just having a discussion, and we appreciate you coming on there and explaining it to us. But
yes,
at the end of the day, what we were basically saying, most layman guys and most guys out here don't have the money to go to dyno. Is the dyno expensive?
Well, you know, it is expensive, and it depends on who you use and how much they're getting. I mean, you know, for us to do like a small block Chevy or big block Chevy with like conventional style stuff, single carburetor deal, you know, we get right around $750 a dyno one. You know, obviously if you're going to run some kind of crazy
engine
fuel
dyno
on it,
or chassis dyno?
That's an engine dyno.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Yeah.
Let him finish explaining that. See, I told y'all this is going to be the best show. Brad, man, you keep it up, boy. We're going to give you number one talk show. Go ahead,
Joe,
and finish explaining about the dyno.
No, that Nephew
had
a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, before you get ready to freshen your motor up and everything, you had ran it on a dyno. Do you count the dyno as a test pass, two test pass, one test pass, or you don't worry
about
it?
Well, what I do is if we're running, the only time I really keep logs of any kind of engine passes is if it's an aluminum rod engine. because anytime you warm that engine up, it's essentially a heat cycle. So it doesn't necessarily mean a pass. It means a heat cycle. And that's the problem with aluminum is it'll get to a point to where it'll just, you know, discard itself and break. So and you got to go by heat cycle. So every time we make a pull on the dyno, we do count it as a heat cycle. You know, I mean, that's just kind of part of it. You know, anytime you warm the thing up at the track and you make a burnout and you go there and it knocks the tires off or something, that's still a pass, you know. So you can get a lot more of those passes, obviously, than full runs on them, but you still have to count them. So, you know, but if it's a steel-rotted engine, then no, we do not count those. Only if it's an aluminum-rotted engine.
Well,
all right, fellas, we got a man on the phone now. Let's go. Y'all get them questions. Good discussion. He's honest about it. He got a dyno machine, but he just let you know it's expensive. But in the long run, it might help you. It might help you if you can afford it.
Yep, no doubt. It'll tell you a lot of things real quick.
If I pay you $750 to dyno my motor, and somehow my motor break apart on your dyno, are you responsible for that?
Absolutely not.
Good question.
Now,
damn good question.
Now, that's a great question. Now, a lot of times I don't mind dynoing an engine that someone else assembled and put together. You know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that build their own stuff. You know, I do a lot of machine shop for other engine builders that just build their own stuff. So I do help them with dynoing their stuff. But when we do so, I want the customer to be there. You know, I want the customer to be there. I want him, you know, I will help them make any decisions that need to be made. But in the same instance, I want you to know that, you know, obviously we're taking care of your engine. We're just not going to rag the thing down, you know. So we start it up. You know, you got to let it get oil temperature first before you start running it, you know. You know, because you could really hurt one, you know, I mean, just by, you know, operator error. So,
hey, Joey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Joey.
Yes,
do y'all build engines too? Do you build engines?
Oh, yes, sir. Yep.
Okay, so when you build an engine, do you incorporate a dyno pull in the engine, or you just build an engine and if a customer want to get it dyno, that's extra? Is that extra?
Well, it depends on what kind of engine it is. Obviously, if it's a street, you know, street strip engine that's, you know, fairly low horsepower and kind of nothing real fancy, then, you know, a lot of times the dyno takes it out of the budget, you know. So you try to work within everybody's budget. If we are running, if it's a full-blown, you know, max effort deal, absolutely 100%. We also do a lot of marine engines, so we dyno all the marine stuff with all of the accessories on it, the, you know, everything that it would be in the boat. So literally you could just unplug it from the dyno and plug it into the boat with the headers and everything just like it's ran in a boat, you know. So we do that to make sure that the wiring harness is correct, the sensors are correct. Your water routing is correct, you know. So, and the same thing on the dyno. I mean, if you have an intake gasket leak or you have an oil pan gasket leak or a rear main seal, those things do happen. And it's very easy to find it on the dyno. Very, very easy to find it on the dyno. So,
all right. One more question, Joey. I'm going to leave you alone because I'm the worst case scenario guy. But could you explain to the people out there that I can get a racing engine from you, top notch? You did it yourself, ran on the dyno and everything, packaged up. I can put it in my car and start it up, and it still can break.
It can break, but it's very unlikely that you're going to have any issues. That's the good thing about a dyno. When you get an engine back from a shop, whether it's me or any other shop, you know, you run it on the dyno, and you could actually show the customer the video. They could be there. You know, and you can see that it's got oil pressure, you know, it's not running warm, you know, it's got no leaks at that point. You could do a compression test right there. You could do a leak down test while it's right on the dyno. So you make sure, in other words, it also makes sure that we do the good job, you know, that
Joey,
we didn't miss anything.
Can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead.
You know, when you come on these shows, we got some hard questions. Now, I'm going to ask you this one question, and I ain't going to ask you no more questions. Y'all guarantee a race motor?
We do guarantee a race engine from any workmanship that's not correct, absolutely. You know, we stand behind it. I had one a long time ago, probably 6.5-7 years ago, that I messed up on. And cost me $8,500, you know, bought the guy a brand-new block and did it right. And he's still a customer to this day, a very good customer of mine. But we do stand behind it. you are going to, you know, if your customer goes out there and burns a piston up because the nitrous tune-up's off, or you know, if it's a blower or a turbo and they knock the head gasket off, there's not much we could do about that. But, you know, damn, if you left a bolt loose or something like that, you're going to have to stand behind it. You know what I mean? So that's our policy. You know, we stand behind our work, and I think that's why we're as successful as we are as well. So.
Where you at?
I got a question for you. I got a question.
Hold, Shorty. Y'all hold on. We got a guy been waiting a while, 804, because he's not going to be in here long. I promised him he wasn't going to be in here long. He is doing work.
804-1614.
Go ahead, Brie. Hey, what's going on, everybody? How you doing this morning, Brad, man? What's up, dog? How everybody else doing? Hey, Joy, I got a quick question. You said on the aluminum rod motors that every time you start it up, it's considered a pass. So would you recommend using steel rods other than aluminum rods?
In certain instances, absolutely. If a guy's going to try to run a lot of passes in between freshen ups, then absolutely, you know, as long as it's within the power limits. You know, some of the engines we do, you know, obviously the big twin turbo stuff, you can't really get away with a steel rod because you're just making too much power, you know, and the steel rod just won't hang in there. Certain instances where it's a big, big nitrous engine, you know, and you've got three kits on it or four kits, you know, and you're spraying a lot of nitrous, and it's big cubic inch stuff, and you got a real long rod. You can't run a steel rod, you know, because it just won't hang in there. So that stuff, you got to run aluminum rod, you know. If you're just building, you know, a big block 555 or even a 632, you know, and you got one or two little kits on it, you know, and you're making under 2,000 horsepower, you know, then you could run a really good steel rod, and you could put, you know, 400 laps on a set of rods, you know, without putting bolts in it or something, you know, and it'll hang in there. But you don't dare do that with an aluminum rod because it won't be there.
What if you're building a big and small block with a big cube against small block? Would you recommend an aluminum rod or would you recommend a steel rod?
Well, we use kind of both. You know, sometimes you can't put an aluminum rod in there because you're out of room. You know, it depends on the combination. If you've got a real, real big inch small block, you know, and you're getting close to 480 inches, you know, we do build them with aluminum rods as well. And it's just kind of, you can run a steel rod. You know, there's no doubt about it. You can run a steel rod. But the aluminum rod, it acts as a shock absorber. You know, I heard a saying one time, would you rather hit your crankshaft with an aluminum hammer or a steel hammer, you know? So in one aspect, aluminum rod's good because it kind of helps out if it's detonating, you know, and you run into some detonation, and it kind of acts as a shock absorber, so it keeps the bearing happy, where a steel rod would start beating the bearing up. So there's pros and cons to both of them. You just got to kind of pick what your combination is. Also, what your budget is, you know, are you going to put a set of $1,200 rods in it every, you know, 150 runs, or are you going to buy a set of $1,300 or $1,400 rods and run them for 400 or 500 runs, you know? So, you know, and you'll put pistons in the thing, but you just keep reusing the rods and put rod bolts in it. So kind of depends on really what you're doing with it for sure, kind of what your maintenance schedule is going to be, and then also how much power you're looking for. You know, I mean, the aluminum rod will accelerate just a little bit faster than a steel rod, so there's not a whole lot of horsepower difference in them. But they will accelerate just a tad bit faster. So.
Thank you for your question, 1648.
Yep.
Hey,
thanks,
Joe. I got one more. Two more questions here. 0041. Go ahead. Did you have something to say to Joe? Hello.
Yeah.
0041. Did you have anything you wanted to say to Joe? I saw you with your hand back up. 813-0041.
Come on, Brad, man. We ain't got time. If you done asked him four times, let's go. Let's move.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Hold on a minute, Smooth. I did hear Shorty. I cut Shorty off, and Shorty had a question, and then you, Smooth, and then we're going to let him get out of here because he he was tight for time. Go ahead, Shorty.
All right, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can hear you fine.
All right, my question is, okay, let's say, like, you're a big shop and everything, and I want to build me a 632.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all sell a kit for a 632 where I can, let's say I'm on a little budget, man, and I want to assemble it myself? Do y'all have a kit for that?
I will do that for a customer, absolutely. You know, what we could do in an instance like that is for, you know, if you come to me and you say, Joe, this is what I got for a budget, you know, what can we do? The only thing that I won't do is I won't sell you something that's not going to hang in there. You know, I won't sell you a part that's it's cheaper, but it's not a good enough quality for what you're doing. So
I guess I want to know, like, if I assemble it myself, okay, let's say I buy all the parts from you, everything from you, and I assemble it myself. After I assemble it, let's say if I bring it back to you to do the dyno and all that type of stuff.
Yes, sir.
If you see something that I did wrong or the cam ain't in the right place or something like that there, by me buying all the parts from you, trying to save a little money or whatever, would you correct everything?
Well, I'm not going to take the whole thing apart and rebuild it for you, you know, but I will guide you in the right direction, you know, and I would help you out. If we were on the dyno and it said, you know, we run the thing and it's just not making any power, you know, we needed to move the cam, yeah, we'd knock the front cover off real quick, or we'd move the cam and put it in where it needs to be and run it, you know. But when I go to the dyno, I don't make any money when we dyno them, you know. I mean, there's no money involved in it. By the time you take the time and set it up and run it and then pull it off and you're there all day, you know, we could do machine work and make more money, you know. But what we use that thing for is because it helps customers out. It helps the engine be a better piece, and, you know, that's what we're there for. But, yes, absolutely. I do a lot for my customers, and I do a lot for other shops' customers as well. Like, I tune a lot of other cars at the racetrack that aren't even our engines, you know. But I help a lot of people out, you know, and I don't ask for anything other than a thanks, I guess, you know, a lot of times, so.
This is my last question. Now, we have been told that a lot of people can correct down dyno, can show false numbers, can make you see something that ain't there. What's your intake on that part of the dyno? Not disrespecting the dyno, not disrespecting you, and that's like that.
It happens a lot more than you think. So a lot of other shops definitely do that. You know, I've put engines on the dyno that I've built personally myself, and it hasn't made the power that we thought it was going to make. But at the end of the day, that's the facts. You know, that's the amount of power it made. You know, we did what we could do, and you know, you could take it apart, or you could start working on cylinder head development a little bit more and camshaft and whatnot. But at the end of the day, that's what it made. So there's been instances that I've been surprised that some of my stuff's made big, big power, and then I've been surprised that it's just made pretty decent power, you know what I mean? So you can fool the dyno, you know, you could change the correction factor in there, but we don't do any of that, you know. What it is what it is. So I don't know. I actually worked for a guy one time that used to do that all the time, and unfortunately, when it got to the racetrack, it just wouldn't run as good as what it probably should have. So, but that does happen.
So basically, you're saying you wouldn't correct nothing.
No, sir. Nope. What you have is what you got. Whether I build it, you build it, someone else builds it. You know, when it gets on the dyno and it runs and that number comes up, you know, and you could keep tuning on it and keep going and usually find power here and there. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, you know. So we do not change the correction factor. What you get is what you see is what you get, you know. So.
Thank you, Shorty. Go ahead, Smooth Criminals, and then you're going to get out of here, Joe. This is the last question now. Go ahead.
My question is this. I want to build a small block, right? Do I go with a 15-degree head, or do you like 18-degree head? Which one stand up better?
What are you doing with it? What are you going to try to do?
Quarter mile.
I mean, nitrous stuff, quarter mile?
Yeah, nitrous.
There's some really, really good 18-degree stuff out there. The 15-degree head, if you just do out-of-the-box style heads, the 15-degree is not going to be a whole lot better, you know. I'd probably, if I was building something for a customer from a 15- or 18-degree deal, I would just build a really, really good 18-degree head. The parts are a little bit easier, you know, and it's going to be a little bit better on the flame travel on the combustion chamber. The problem when you start getting just too smaller of a valve angle is the chamber starts getting shallower and smaller and smaller, and you know, it becomes a chance to burn up a lot easier. So unless you're doing a complete max effort deal, I would stick with the 18-degree stuff. I think you're going to – the results would be very, very similar to the 15-degree, but the tuning window would be a little bit bigger as well.
That's what I heard. I'm going on mute. Where you out of?
We're out of Newport Richey, Florida, which is just northwest of Tampa.
You got a number?
Yeah, 727-847-5777, and it's Fast Forward Race Engines. So.
Thank you. Good information.
Hey, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Joe, I just want to say, this is Bread Man. I want to say, man, thank you. I got to do this for you. Fast Forward Racing, Joe, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hold up, Bread Man.
Yes,
put that number out. Hey, Bread Man, before he go, let him get that number out again, because I was going to tell him to do that, because let him get that number out that criminal just asked him. Let him give his company and his race number out good, because he did some damn good talking, and he seemed like a very fair man.
So the shop is Fast Forward Race Engines, and the phone number is 727-847-5777. If anybody has any more questions or anything like that, feel free to give us a call at the shop. You can get me, the wife, or any of the guys.
All right. Well, Joe, Bread Man did. He expressed his thoughts and everything to you, man, and there's a lot of other guys on here, because I done got about 5 texts since you've been on here. Man, we appreciate you coming on with the honesty, and that's what we like. If more people out there was like that, it'll be a better racing place. And Joe, on behalf of this dog, on behalf of Bread Man Show, we appreciate you coming on today, bro. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Later.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Bread Man, you do that shit every week, talking about a short show, and you end up having a long show.
Hold on. I heard somebody ask the question that would you take your motor to a racer and run the same number or something? So did somebody ask a question about that? Would you go to an engine builder to go fast or something? I heard somebody ask some kind of question.
No, I didn't hear anything like that.
I didn't hear that question.
Y'all have to apologize.
Hey, man, who runs Fast Forward Engine? Please mess the one button.
Do what now?
Who out there running but the engines?
Well, maybe they don't know nothing about it. Maybe they don't know nothing about it. That's why. So, you know, maybe his name and his word, that's how he get out there. He got
a red.
I just read.
Yeah.
Hey, dog, Bread.
Yeah.
I got a question.
No, he's on that guy right there. Go ahead, Junebug.
Okay, my question is, if, just say, I went to a well-known engine builder, let's say we'll just use Gene Fulton for an instance, and I went in and I bought a 632QN motor from Fulton, right? And nephew, when, you know, 2-3 days later, he bought a 632QN. Do you think me and nephew will have the same engine?
Oh, hell no.
So we have different parts.
Depending on who you are.
Hell no.
Hey, we don't have this discussion, June, but why you bringing that up? It depends on, like I said.
I just wanted to get some other opinions. That's all.
Hell no. Hey, so y'all call Chubb Junebug.
No, Chubb got his own stuff, Junebug.
773-7115. Your mic is live. Good morning.
Hi, Bread Man. How you doing, man? This kid in Chicago.
Man, what's going on, kid? Everything good with you?
Oh, yeah, we're getting ready to have Dog up here. Hey, Dog, you still on?
Yeah, sir. I'm here, sir. Yeah, sir.
Is you coming up here to Chicago?
Hey, come on now. Don't you know doggone it, Dog don't answer them kind of questions in public yet? But hell yeah.
Oh. Okay, you better try to get your ass up here if I have to come down and send for you.
Man, you're going to get Mike Hill to fire me, man. Mike Hill finna fire me, man.
Oh, man. He ain't gonna do that. Yeah, we're looking forward for you to come on up here, man.
If y'all want to put out again,
hey, dog.
Kid, hold on, let me tell this here. They the thing on Sleepy, man, we still ain't forgot about Sleepy, but what pissed me off about the whole deal, nobody really had all the information to put out about Sleepy. You know, Sleepy house got burned down, y'all, so we're going to still try to do a little something for Sleepy, y'all.
Exactly.
Hey, so, Brad.
We definitely need to. Yes, sir.
Hey, Brad. Mr. Tiff.
Yes, sir. Come on with it.
You were talking to Joe Irvin just now. Yeah, Perez runs his motor, and he works on his junior's motor also, his son's motor, and he gave me some tips. He's very good reputable source for engine builders. I tell anybody out there, he not only can he build them, he can come to the track and tune that nitrous for you too off that grid system and stuff. He's real good at what he does.
Hey, Mr. Tip, I just got a text, and as soon as you said that, they said y'all got all them good guys down there in Florida. How come all these guys over here in Georgia, South Carolina keep kicking y'all butt? That was a text I got. I'm going on mute.
Hey, Doug. Go ahead on mute, man.
863-4142. 863-4142. What's going on?
Oh, no, I was just going to answer that question about who all running Fast Forward engines. A lot of guys.
Uh-huh.
You go to duck race, you go see a stick on a lot of cars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have seen that name before, and I know somebody who personally had one of their engines, and it was a bad piece. I mean, yeah.
A guy from Michigan just the other day with a small block with one kit that went 471 with it.
Yeah. Who he be? Hey, who he be?
Is that
he
wanted
to put out. It was
Oh boy,
who he
beat, dog?
No, I ain't trying to be funny. I'm just saying, who he beat? Was he testing or was he racing somebody?
No, he was in the race they had up there. It was a radio tire race.
Okay.
What's his name? Some Bill, right?
Yeah.
What the car called?
It's a green. It's like a green camouflage car.
Rosie Bell or something like that. They ain't no fast forward racing engine car right now. That's a BES motor.
It's a green like camouflage car, the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a BES motor. That's a BES motor right now.
No, believe me, it's fast forward. I used to deal with fast forward all the time myself.
I mean, the man told me he had a BES motor, you know.
Well,
you know, sometimes they tell you somebody else's motor, man, because they don't want you going to the dude who built his motor. I ain't gonna tell you. This is a smooth criminal. I'm going on mute. I ain't telling you who built my motor.
I just got a text. Somebody said, make sure whoever is building Breadman's motor, don't go to him because Breadman ain't been out in 3 years. Oops, I'm on mute.
That's real. Breadman got the baddest engine build out there. Chris Nelson.
But hey, man, we getting ready to go ahead. It's all good. That's
how they do. Hey, before you set it off, Brad, I got to ask dog a question. Close your ear, Brad.
Don't do that, Chuck. Don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Hey, let him ask that question. That'll be his final thoughts, Brad, man. Let him ask. I might want to answer.
No, make it clean, Chuck. Yeah. Make it clean.
It clean. No. Would you rather have a pretty woman that look like Holly Berry, a fat woman that look like goddamn Porsche with some smell good cuckoo? What one would you really have? That'll be my answer.
That man told you to keep that stuff clean, time. Jumbo. Go ahead, old friend, man. Chill messing around, man.
317-417-4021.
Hey, Brad, man, I got a question for you, Brad.
Who it is?
It's Miko.
Oh, what's going on, Miko?
Yeah, now, if you put a little baby oil on your thumbs, do it help you get off the train and break better?
Well, Miko, I don't know. That might be something new, Miko, but I ain't tried that one. I'm gonna tell you the truth. If you got your thumb exposed, you ain't running nothing fast enough to have what you call them anyway. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, Brett.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Mr. Tip, I got a text saying Carlos is on the phone, so be careful what you say. But with that being said, y'all,
You said Carlos, I ain't worried about him.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, he know. Well, listen, I'm going to start down here, and I think that, I'm going to start down and go up 863. Bread Man is getting ready to get out of here. I need final thoughts from y'all. 863-4142, you first on the list. What's your final thoughts
on what
you
heard?
Not just a good show. What's your take on Dino? What's your take on Dino or in the chassis? Which one you prefer? And we getting out of here.
I'd rather go to the track the way my pocket is. Go to the track and do it.
All right. All right. Thank you so kindly for checking in. Mr. Tip, you next. Come on with it.
I'd rather put the engine on the dyno and make sure it's the proper operating properly before I take it to the track.
That's your take, and you sticking with it, right?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Till, for chiming in. Appreciate you. And 773-7115, your mic was hot. What's your take on things?
Put it on the dyno, Brett, man, and then take it to the track.
Sounds good. That sounds good. And I appreciate you for getting in. Look forward
all
to
right.
seeing you soon.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Yep.
678-3604.
Brave man.
67. Yeah, come on with it.
We ain't never been to the dyno, so ain't no need to start going. I'm going to meet.
Anybody else on this line?
Yeah.
Hey.
I say, like your man say, put it on the engine dyno, make sure you don't have no leaks, and then go from there, go to the track and tune. That's my final thought. Good show. See you out next year, Britt.
You might. You just might. Go ahead. Nick, what you got?
I do both, Brad, if I can board it.
I feel you. Anybody else left on that line want to say something before I go on up?
Oh, yeah. You know me, I just hit 2 miles right there in the front yard. You know, clear through the motor of time, you know. Red.
I'm on Chubb line. I'm like nephew. That's why all them guys out there in Florida so slow. They done spent all their money on the dyno. I'm on mute.
There y'all have it. Let me see. 1304. Shawty, where you at? Hello. I'm going to move on up then. Smooth. Up to you. 6386. Where you at?
Hey, I'm going to tell like this. I like the way Joe talk. If you can find a good one like him, you're pretty much good. I might try him, but I'm old school. I'm going to put it in the front yard. We're going to do it right there and there.
Hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate your input on things. And there you have it. You sticking with it, huh?
Yes, sir, I'm sticking with it. Let me hear that inspirational dose.
I'm finna get it for you. Finna get it for you. Well, y'all, I'm going to go and get my thoughts on things. Hold on a minute. I didn't, hold on a minute. I'm missing somebody here. I'm scrolling up. Make sure I have all my. Dog, where you at? Godfather, your mic's still open.
Yeah,
come
Brad,
on,
man, on a serious note, Brad, man, not trying to tell you how to run your show or how to do your show, but if you go back and listen to some of your shows, Brad, man, you're going to start getting a wider audience of people in there with a wider view, and you're letting everybody say what they want to say, and that's what makes a successful show. So I hope you all take that recipe there that we tried to halfway throw out there to you, take it and go to the next level with it, Brad, man, and you're going to have a successful talk show all the time. With that being said, it's the Godfather, and like I said, I'm like nephew. Hell with a dyno. I'm on mute.
Well, I've sat back and listened at. Thank you, by the way, Godfather. You've always been there and definitely given me some great insight. on how to run a show. I've always said that, you know, I use you and, you know, your competitor, Pro Stock Joe. I do learn from all of you. I learn from every talk show host there is in order to be good. Godfather has always been here on the line with me every show I've had. I do want to put that out there. I've always listened at him, and he's taught me a whole lot. So I do want to throw him out there as to why and the way I am. But he is the hard. I am soft. I am soft when it comes to, I just, me personally, I don't, you know, I like to just have a different view on how I go with words. And that's why, you know, I am who I am. He understands me, and it is what it is. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go to the inspirational vitamin. Let me get it pulled up here. The inspirational vitamin of today, it's, y'all know that we come in contact with individuals that try us. If y'all don't know it, I just was tried on the phone. A brother came over and said, we'll see you next year. That may be a true statement, but that ain't going to make me stop continuing to do what I do, and that's work hard for what I have. With that being said, the inspirational vitamin, Monday, July 14th, 2014. God is never going to let you down. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. And that's what I'm going to do about that particular statement. God has things under control. Hold on. Breakthrough is coming, and he better not let bread break through, because I'm telling you, each and every one that ever said something to bread about what I'm not going to do, y'all know what y'all can do. Put it in the water box. This is the Bread Man. And one time for your mind. With me.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.